Blog Talk Radio.
What's up, everybody? We're back, Lee and Keys, Real Talk, Episode 10. We got my man Lee here. We're about to break down a couple topics. Lee, say what's up to our listeners.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? This is Lee out here in Denver, ready to get it in with my man Keys. Thanks for listening. Everybody, happy holidays.
Also, I always say it every time. The guest calling is 917-889-3251. If at any point during the show any of our listeners want to call up and tell us what's on your mind, please feel free to do so, because we welcome anybody. Anyways, we want to break down a couple topics today. First, tonight we got UFC Fight Night Winnipeg. I'm not sure where Winnipeg is in the world, but sounds like it's lit over there, so maybe that's why they brought it down there. And the big thing was actually two things. They got the Mike Perry's fighting, and we've got Robbie Lawler's coming back. Well, not really. He returned, but he's coming back again. He fought Cerrone earlier this year. He looked okay in that fight. I didn't think he looked I didn't really see the hunger in him in that fight. That's how I'll put it. Really, how do you felt about Robbie Lawler, how he looked versus Cerrone fight?
Man, I thought, because normally when you watch Lawler, normally he comes out and he's very calculating with what he's going to do in the ring. But when he came out against Cerrone, he came out guns blazing. It was like, won't no glove touch or nothing. He came out bombing on Cerrone. And then I thought the first round, the first round was on Lawler, probably 10-9. And then the second round, Cerrone started giving it to him. I gave the second round to Cerrone, 10-9. Then the third round was a you call it, but I think Lawler took control towards the later part of the round, so that's why he got the decision. I want to say he changed camps. So maybe he's not as ruthless or, you know, he's not taking as many unnecessary chances as far as taking punishment and fights on his new camp. So I think tonight he's going to have to probably come out like he did against Cerrone just to overwhelm Rafael. But I like Lawler, but I think Dos Anjos is going to win this fight tonight. I think it's going
five
rounds. I think Dos Anjos going to win by decision.
Yeah, I think it's Dos Anjos is a lot more of a I feel like you got to prepare a lot more to fight a guy like that compared to preparing to fight Donald Cerrone. You know, so you kind of know what Cerrone is going to be coming with when you sign to fight him. But as with Rafael Dos Anjos, you really don't know what he's going to be coming with. I mean, you can have an idea, but he kind of got a couple more weapons under his belt to throw at Robbie Lawler. And, you know, they had a stat come out. Lawler hasn't attempted a submission in I think, like, in 30 fights or something crazy like that. So, and you know, Dos Anjos, he's got a couple skills that Lawler might not be, might be lacking in. So, I guess we'll see. That'll be good. Anyways, my prediction for that fight, I'm not sure. I really don't know. I'll go on to the next one though. I don't want to waste any time. I don't have a prediction. Anyways, the other fight you have Santiago Ponzinibbio,
I'm not letting you off the hook like that, Keys. I'm not letting you off the hook like that. Okay, now we both know this is your boy T. Woods' division. So, instead of you're going to have to make a decision. Who do you want T. Wood to fight out of this fight? It's either Lawler or you want Dos Anjos. Who do you want him to fight? That's your prediction.
I want him to rematch Lawler. That's what I want to see. You know, lately I've been trying to not go with who I want to win, because who I want and who I like never wins. And that has shown, that this year. You know, all the fighters, I was like 1 in 5, I think, you know, this year in title fights, you know, based on me choosing, you know, who I wanted to win versus like my logical decision. And who I want is usually not the logical pick. I mean, sometimes it appears to be, but then, you know, the UFC is just, it's such a dynamic, and it's tough. You can't really call anything. So, you know, just because I want to see Lawler win, I'm going to go with Rafael Dos Anjos as well, because I'm just trying to go against my, I'm trying to go with my better judgment and go against, you know, my, what I'd rather see happen. I'll be rooting for Lawler, okay, hopefully, to him to have a good performance, but I'm going to go with Rafael Dos Anjos as well.
Okay, I can live with that. I can live with that. So what's the next fight?
So the other fight, you have Mike Perry. You got my boy Mike Perry's fighting Ponzinibbio. And Santiago Ponzinibbio is number 10 ranked. I think that's a welterweight fight as well. Yeah, that's a welterweight fight as well, I believe. So that's pretty cool. We got a welterweight doubleheader. I like the theme that the UFC's been doing lately. When they set up a card, they've been using this theme of, you know, creating doubleheaders either in the same division or, like, you know, kind of like how UFC in Boston coming up, they have a heavyweight, light heavyweight doubleheader for the, you know, two title fights. I feel like that kind of goes along this theme, but only this one is like you have a welterweight title eliminator and then another welterweight bout as the co-main event, even though I think the Ricardo Lamas fight might be the actual co-main event, but you know what I mean. They still got two, you know, kind of high-stakes welterweight fights on the same card, and I like when they put, you know, they dedicate, like, cards to a certain, you know, to a certain weight class. I like that idea. It just makes the interest so much more because you got to see different pieces of the weight division kind of play out, you know, at the same time. So you, and then at the end when they're showing the rankings, you can say, okay, like, this just happened, so now we can look at this. You know, it kind of gives you a better idea of where everybody's at, you know, with that monopoly board kind of thing. So you have Ponzinibbio just beat Gunnar Nelson in his last fight. Mike Perry, my boy Platinum Mike Perry, just fought. He was supposed to fight a guy, I forget who he was supposed to fight, and then it fell through. He ended up fighting Alex Reyes or something like that. That was a fight night card a couple months back. He knocked him out in the first round. That's similar to a lot of Mike Perry's fights. He likes to get people out of there in, you know, one or two rounds. And that's very specific to the style of fighter that I like. So go figure that I'll root for Mike Perry in this one. But at the same time, being that I want Mike Perry to win, I'm going to go with Ponzinibbio for my prediction, just because I want Mike Perry to win. So I'm going to root for Perry. And if he knocks this man out in under two rounds, then you just know I'm going to be smiling. I'm going to be very happy. But I'm going to go with Ponzinibbio on my prediction, just because I'm always wrong. So that's how I do that. What you feel about that one, Lee? How you feel about it?
The funny part is I'm going totally opposite of you. I want Ponzinibbio to win. I want him to win, but I think Perry is going to win. Even though, you know, I have a thing now with fighters that try to talk their way into a title and, you know, instead of letting their fight speak for themselves. Perry is one of these guys that's in the mold of Colby Covington, who thinks he just can talk his way into a championship fight instead of just fighting their way to a championship fight. Because I think at the end of his last fight, he called out Robbie Lawler. And I went back and I looked at who he has fought, and he really hasn't fought anybody. So let's get a couple more belts under your belt there, fella, and then you can start calling out dudes in the top 5 or top 10 or whatever. So I want Ponzinibbio to win, but I think Perry wins by knockout probably in the second round. But Perry better be careful because Santiago is very good on his back and a good technician and wrestler. So Perry better be careful and don't make any mistakes, because Santiago could submit him in a blink of an eye. So Mike Perry, be careful.
Yeah, I think it's just kind of funny too. Just to wrap that up, I heard that supposedly Mike Perry's been doing, I guess in one of his last couple fights, his opponent supposedly poked him in the eye, and he was complaining that like his opponent poked him in the eye during the fight or something like that. So I guess he for this fight. Oh no, no, I think Hans and Nip. No, no, Gunner. No, here's what happened. Nelson, Gunner Nelson's. Was complaining after losing to Ponzinibbio that poked him in the eye. That's what happened. Okay, now I got my own story straight here. So as a result, Mike Perry's been doing, I heard, quote-unquote, eye poke conditioning for this fight, which is really funny. Oh, man. That one's going to be good either way. We'll see about that tonight. And then they got the... we got the Ricardo Lamas fight too, and there's also the who's the guy Gustafsson? Glover Teixeira is also fighting too. He's fighting Misha Mishkinov. Yeah, he's fighting that guy. So there's a couple other good fights on that we'll get to see. But I want to get into the other topic that I was on to bring up is net neutrality, and I think that's how you say it. Net neutrality. Yeah. All right.
Hey, well.
But hold on
real quick. It's another fight. I want to make two comments real quick. Glover Teixeira, he was talking trash about John Jones this week, and I think John Jones demolished him. So, Glover, you lost, man. And he wasn't even on steroids when he beat you. Only person that can talk trash about John Jones is DC, not you, Glover. You lost. And then a surprise fight that you probably want to watch on the undercard is the John McDessie fight versus Abel Trujillo. I think that's going to be a good fight, bro. Keep your eye on that fight. The winner of that fight probably can do some things. But go ahead, man. I'm with you.
I wanted the net neutrality thing is a big topic right now. From my understanding, you know, there's been a lot of people trying to, like, make, you know, create different images on what the effects of what it would, you know, effects it would have on, you know, us and people, you know, that are frequent users of the internet. And, you know, that pertains to us and it pertains to our show. That pertains to, you know, all of our social media, our Twitter debates, things like that, especially seeing that Twitter has been in talks a lot about, you know, that would be, you know, one a form of social media that would charge its users, would have to, it would be a paid application or website, whatever you want to, you know, verify that as. And that in Facebook and a lot of the, basically most of the stuff that we mainly use, I heard even Google searches are going to be paid as well. I mean, a lot of that, like I said, is just people creating, you know, false images. We don't really know exactly what would happen. I've never experienced it or really lived through a time like this, so I really don't know. And that's why it's weird to me that people are coming out with all these numbers, and I just keep thinking, how do you know? Like, how do you know what it's supposed to be like? I mean, I haven't heard any official reports come out stating that this is, these are what the prices would be, you know, if they get rid of they vote out the net neutrality thing. And a lot of people just throwing out what they think scare tactics to make everybody, you know, jump on one side or the other. And how I feel is that it's a form of free speech. Also, being on the internet, you know, this place where we can all talk and connect with each other and, you know, find how we relate or not relate. Or even if you're not talking to nobody and you don't want to relate to nobody, you still get to post what you want and blog about what you want. How we do, we just tweet about what we want and debate it. You can write anything on Twitter, and any random person that doesn't follow you can somehow see what you said and then connect to what you were saying based on, you know, keywords. And it's just crazy to think that out of all, you know, the issues in the United States of America is that would be you know, they would want to attack the internet. It just blows my mind. Out of all, you know, things that you could put more emphasis on, is that they would want to attack this, you know, a place where people can, everything is, you know, it's a, you know, it's not all peaceful on the internet. It's not exactly peaceful. I mean, there, you know, there's people that, it, you know, maybe you could, you know, ban content and certain things like that. But I don't think that it's all bad. I think it's a good place. I mean, especially, I didn't have to pay for our blog talk. I mean, we pay for this, but I mean, just paying to even, you know, access the site, period, would just be so weird. How do you feel about that, Lee? What do you think about it?
Well, you know, to be honest, I really didn't pay too much attention to it this week when I seen it on Twitter and stuff. But now that, you know, since me and you talked earlier, you know, I kind of like looked it up. And the bottom line is, what I'm reading is the FCC voted to gut net neutrality rules, let internet providers like Verizon and Comcast control what we can see and do online with new fees, throttling the censorship. But people are saying that we can still get Congress to put a stop to this by passing a resolution of disapproval to overturn the FCC vote. So if I'm reading this correctly, actually I got this off of www.battleforthenet.com. So if I'm reading this correctly, basically what they're saying is people that we get our internet through, like for me, I get mine through Comcast, they can basically charge us for using certain parts of the internet. For us, like for me and you, we use Twitter a lot. But I don't use Twitter as far as on my internet provider. I use Twitter as far as an application on my cell phone. So I don't know whether or not Sprint and T-Mobile and other companies like that will start like including a fee for us to use, let's say, Facebook, Twitter, Google, things like that. So it's kind of crazy because as me and you, we have a 20-plus year differential in age. There was a time when I grew up where there wasn't an internet, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, when we had to do some research, we went, got a newspaper, encyclopedia, you know, went to the library, stuff like that. Whereas nowadays, everything is at your fingertip, and it's so much more, the internet is so available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Whereas a library, you know, they're not open sometimes on Saturdays and Sundays. You know, they're open from 10 to 5, 10 to 6, stuff like that. So I don't like the government governing, you know, what people can do and what people can do online. If you're going to govern that, let's get rid of child pornography. Let's get rid of the hate group stuff. Let's get rid of, you know, the bullying, the cyberbullying. Let's get rid of, you know, disparaging comments against our sites, against our country. If you want to regulate the internet, regulate it against people that abuse the internet, not people that use the internet for school, you know, to create businesses, to reach out and talk to old friends. It's just the government is doing too much governing of what people can and what the information people can and can't have access to. I can't see me going to Google the movie tavern, what time the movie's going to run, and I got to pay 50 cents for that. Are you serious? I just can't see a time with that happening. So there's a resolution that if people really want to make their voice heard, there's a resolution of disapproval that people can fill out, and it'll go straight to Congress. And because Congress now is the ones that can say yay or nay to this FCC vote. So hopefully Congress will do the right thing and let the internet stand as it is today. But if they don't do the right thing, let's hope that some of the censorship that they do with the internet takes some of the abusers off the internet and makes the internet a good place to be, not a scary place to be, because I think the internet can be scary from time to time. So this thing is, I can see a lot of people fighting this, but Congress can't put a stop to it. So let's see what happens. Let's see how it plays out.
Yeah, I have faith. You know, I have faith that they'll do the right thing. And I guess it depends on what perspective that you have and how you're looking at it, depending on what you think is the right thing. I'm not, you know, I in the past I've tried to always, you know, push this idea, you know, this theory that, like, you know, whatever I thought, you know, was how it was, but it's like, it's not, like, there's many different viewpoints, you know, to something and everything. So, you know, what I think is the right thing maybe is the wrong thing to, you know, a million other people. So I guess we'll find that out. You know, I hope that that they're looking out for the people, because I feel like it's an attack on the people, and not to directly. I don't think it's a direct attack at the people. So, you know, to make it so that we can't connect. And I mean, thinking of it like that would just make the whole thing too personal. I mean, I think it's just a big money grab, you know, for, like you were saying, and I mean, for bigger businesses, bigger corporations to be able to profit a lot more money off of our internet use, you know, especially being that there's such a big amount of users on the internet and people like us running shows like this, and, you know, and that, which is actually good. I mean, sites like this where, you know, we pay and everybody comes on that they're paying to use this service. I mean, this is, I mean, and that's arguable. Like, a lot of things that we use, you know, and like I said about the different viewpoints, like, one person might feel like, okay, like, you should have to pay to use Twitter. Like, look at this service that you have. Like, all of this is a service. So, like, if you really like this product, I mean, by supply and demand, people are going to do what they got to do to get to that product. And, you know, I don't know everything, but, I mean, I at least know that, you know, I'd be willing to pay to use Twitter. I mean, I wouldn't, I mean, unless the price was just completely unreasonable and I just couldn't afford to do it. I mean, I guess I wouldn't, but, you know, Twitter, I'd probably take Twitter and a Google search is probably the most needed, you know, for me. So, Lee, how much would you be willing to pay to use Twitter if they did a monthly fee?
Man, that's a good question, man, because I'm on Twitter every day, dog. I'm on Twitter every day. I mean, I'm not up there as much as you, because, you know, sometimes I be having to catch up on stuff, so I'm kind of late on some of my replies and stuff. But I'm on Twitter every day. I think if I had to pay a monthly fee to use Twitter, I would be willing to pay anywhere between $15 to $25 a month, you know, just because it's a way for us to promote our show. Also, it's a way to get stuff off your chest in 240 characters. So I like Twitter. I mean, I don't do Facebook. I have a bogus Instagram account, because I had to create an Instagram account. Because if somebody attacked something on Twitter that had an Instagram link, it wouldn't let you in unless you had an account. So, you know, I had to create a bogus Instagram account. But I would pay $15 to $25 a month to use Twitter. Had no problem with that. I think there was a tweet that somebody said that certain services would be a certain amount per month if net neutrality was to take place. I'm trying to find it right now. But I am being very unsuccessful right now. Hey, but look, let me ask you a question, though, Keys. So do you think this is a money grab for, like, AT&T, Verizon, Comcast, the other internet providers, or do you just think the FCC just wants to take something off their plate and put it on the internet providers so that they will have more, hoping that they will gain more control over what is posted on the internet?
That's a good question. I feel like it could be a little bit of both, because, I mean, there's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of other countries, like, we don't realize, like, a lot of, like, North Korea, the censorship over there. I mean, you can't get anything in or out over there. I mean, we don't even know what goes on in North Korea. We have no idea. And like, it's pretty crazy because you like people don't understand like how privileged we are to be able to, you know, have the free speech and go on and, you know, not have to deal with censorship issues, you know, especially on the internet. Anybody can go, you know, for the most part, type anything and say, you know, talk to anybody, you know, and put out whatever you want out there. You know, I mean, Twitter, I've been getting hit a lot by Twitter. They've been trying to, you know, postpone my account and trying to lock me out. I've been getting locked out a lot lately. You know, and I guess I've, you know, been violating Twitter rules and in some way that they've locked me out of my account many times. And that's Twitter's own way of the controlling the content which is being put out there. I have no idea what it is that I do that, you know, deserves me to get shut out of my account, you know, every other day. But that's neither here nor there. I think that it could be partly that, you know, the government or the FCC, they do want to control the content, and it could be partly a censorship thing. And then at the same time, I definitely think that a big part of it is the money. I mean, the money, everything is about the money, and the companies, they want to be able to make as much money as possible off the internet. I mean, you look at it, and it's kind of like up for grabs. The internet isn't owned by anybody. It doesn't belong to anybody. It's just there. And, you know, all these different services and networks that we're all, you know, connecting through are all their own independently ran systems, like, you know, Facebook and Instagram. They're all, you know, running their own show, and this is all created by, you know, different teams of people that, you know, create the content that we're, you know, writing on and then reposting within that. I mean, I think I think there's pieces of both of those are true to an extent, but I definitely think the money is definitely plays a big factor, is a big influence. You know, they see that the internet is up for grabs and they want to be able to, you know, control the people at the same time, kind of set up a system where like, okay, you want this thing, you like this thing, you have to pay to get the better internet. Like, let me slow down your internet. And, you know, but to the, you know, these people that like can pay us a lot more money, like the millionaires are going to have the best internet. You know, Donald Trump is going to have the best internet. Like, he doesn't, not going to have a problem, you know, going on to Google. And that's, you know, I suppose I could fix that problem with just, you know, I need like a, you know, I need a router from the future or something. You know, once this happens to like, I'm sure there's going to be like people coming out with like special boxes to like reverse, you know, the slow speeds. If they wanted to slow down our internet and then make you have to pay more to, like you were saying, to Verizon and to the internet providers and whoever that may be, you know, AT&T and such like that, they could, you know, give you slower internet speeds, you know, over a certain mile radius, you know, across this area, across here, you know, maybe everywhere, one state at a time, the next one, and then make us have to pay more. So, yeah, in that way, then it could be a big money grab for companies like Verizon and AT&T to make a big buck off of. So, I do think so. I think that those are both true.
Because I was sitting here while you was talking, I was sitting here thinking, like, for people like myself, I work from home. I work from home sometimes. So, basically, how would that affect people that work from home if the internet providers control what you can and can't do online? I know, like, for me, a lot of my stuff is accessed through a government website. So, you know, are they going to take in consideration, you know, how that will work as far as people that work from home? It's a lot of things that they need to really, really look at before they should have looked at before making this decision. But I did find this tweet that this guy sent out. This dude said Twitter would be $17.99 a month, Snapchat $9.99 a month, YouTube $19.99 a month, Netflix $4.99 per movie, and Google searches would be $1.99 per search. I don't know how he came up with that. It doesn't say how he came up with it, but those were the projected prices that this guy had on Twitter. So, I guess I was way off on the Google search.
Yeah, I actually found a similar one posted, and they said $14.99 a month for Twitter, which if they did do that, you were saying, I mean, that'd be a reasonable price for you. I'd pay that price for Twitter. I would probably just think about,
yeah, me too,
which of these applications do I not use? Okay, how can I save money? X, Y, Z, and then, you know, I'm going to spend that on Twitter instead. But they also have Snapchat, $9.99, YouTube, $19.99 a month for YouTube. It's pretty expensive, but then again, YouTube, I mean, who doesn't think of a video? Oh, like, let me show you this video on YouTube. I mean, that's a very common thought. I think everybody uses YouTube. It's almost like Google about videos. Netflix, $9.99 per movie. I think that's pretty crazy. $1.99 per search for Google. I think that one would be a big factor with me because I Google search things all the time. And, like, with me, it's usually, like, looking up definitions of words and stuff because I'm a communications major, and a lot of times I'll be typing up a paper or something like that, and I'm like, oh, like, I want to use this word. Like, I know this word, but I don't know the meaning of it. So I Google search things very frequently, and that I'd probably rack up a decent tab with Google in a rather short time.
I think companies like...
No, go ahead.
Go ahead.
What you said?
I think companies like Google and Yahoo, if this thing was to go into effect, I think what they would do is they would probably charge you a monthly fee for their service, but everything that's included within their service would be included within that monthly fee. Because, you know, like with Google, you got Google Drive, you got your Gmail, you got YouTube. So Google would be, if this was to happen, they would be smart just to charge people a monthly fee instead of you going to charge me every time I use this service. No, just charge me a monthly fee, and we could operate that way. I think the big companies would provide better service to their customers with a monthly fee than a by service usage fee. So that's one thing to also look for if this was to happen. Companies like Yahoo and Google will probably be the trendsetters as far as revolutionizing how to maximize their customer service for their customers by charging a one-time fee. Because let's say for me, I use Yahoo as far as my fantasy football, and I got a Yahoo Mail account. So Yahoo would charge me, let's say, $15 a month, but I still have access to my email. I still have access to Yahoo searches. I still have access to my fantasy football. So I wouldn't be mad about that if I could just pay a flat fee to use all my services within their site. So we'll see how that go, though, bro. I think this fight is a long way from over.
Yeah, it'll probably be a while until we get some kind of verdict. I'm not sure how long it takes to get through the Congress. I definitely agree that it'd be better if they would just, you know, set up monthly fees to use the services rather than per search or per movie or per video on YouTube or something crazy like that. Like, that kind of thing, I think, is overkill. When you are charging somebody per every single time, like, that is extreme overkill. I mean, and if you think about it, it's like, okay, if somebody made 10 Google searches in a month, they paid $20 that month to use Google, but that's still not the same, considering that that's just a mere example. Could actually be, that person could actually be searching Google like 400 times per month, and that would mean in that month 400 searches costed them $800. That is insanity. Like, that is, I don't know how, like, see, that's the thing about those numbers that it makes me, like, hope that they wouldn't be realistic, because that's just not fair, you know, to the people to charge them out. Like, Google would look like the biggest greedy bastards of all time to do a per search fee. So, God damn it, Google, just keep making your phones and trying to beat Apple. Don't try and charge us per search. You're already the top name.
Yeah.
You're not competing with anybody. Like, and Google makes tons of money. The technology Google has now is better than a lot of technology out there. So I don't see how they would need to be any more greedy. They're already a good platform. So.
I totally agree.
So we got the fights tonight. We'll see what happens. We got the fight for net neutrality. We'll see what happens. And I wanted to do is that anytime anybody want to call up, like I always say, 917-889-3251. Call us up and tell us what's on your mind. We're always open to talk about everything and anything. That even if you want to call up and talk prices for Blog Talk Radio listens, we might need to start charging people per listen. What's it gonna do? Anytime you want to call into the show, tell us how much we should charge you. Call into the show. I don't think we're on that level. I don't think that we're those kind of people, but I guess it'd be fun to talk about at this point. We have been improving, so the product is there. Lee, you got any last words for them tonight? What's on your mind?
Man, I really, to be honest, bro, I really haven't been keeping up with stuff the way I'm supposed to. I just started a new job last Monday, man, and I've been knee-deep in training for that. And then, Christmas is around the corner, so I've been doing a lot of secret shopping so people, don't, so I can get stuff in and out of the house without people seeing it. But, man, really, I just want to say to the people, do your research on this net neutrality and write your congressman or write whoever to make your voice heard. Don't just sit around and let people do stuff. Make your voice be heard. So that's all I got, bro.
Yeah, nah, definitely. The ignorance is really what kills us. Like when people just don't want to hear about something, they just don't want to know, and they're just like, I don't know what it is. Well, find out, man. Find out what it is. Get the knowledge. That's all about life. Like, you need to have, yes, you don't know. That's a given. You don't know. Of course you don't know. The thing is to find out. You have to learn before, and so you can make a decision. The things that will affect you in the future. How are you going to walk around and just not know about anything? Just be ignorant to knowing about it. Like, there's things that will affect you, and then you'll be mad later that you didn't try and give your 2 cents on it when you had the chance. So you at least try to, make a difference in favor of what you want to happen. What's been on my mind is, kind of unrelated thing, but I've been trying to grind away on these assignments, get done for the semester, in college. I mean, one of my last couple more semesters after this, but I'm just finishing up with this finals week, and the thing that making me mad is that one of my teachers, he took, forever to post the final exam. And I just got to say, to all people who listen and go to school, like, you need to tell your professor, you got to stop doing this. Teachers out there got to stop doing this to us. We're trying to go on break. People got to be trying to be with their families. It's the holidays coming up. It's a special time of year. When you're finishing out in this semester, it's taking, my professor all this time to post the final exam. It's like, come on, man. Like, get it out there more earlier. Like, it's now December 16th. I think he just posted it today. And he's talking about the thing is due December 22nd by midnight. It's like, man, really? Like, you gave us, you basically got people working on your exam, up until a day before, Christmas. Like, that's just crazy to me. I don't know what's up with that, man. Teachers need to get off that thing and consider your students. Student lives are important, and it matters that we all need to go be with our families and, get start the holidays off a little bit early. Let your students, go start the holidays. We all work hard. The teachers work hard. Give that to yourself, to not be doing things last minute. And that's just how I feel about that. We appreciate y'all for listening every week. Guest calling is 917 889-3251. If there's ever anything you want to talk about, call up and break it down with us, and we'll, I'm sure we'll have a couple answers for you, a couple, two or three answers for you, and spew off into some other thing. So we appreciate anybody who listens. You know, 917-889-3251, call in anytime. And this is Lee and Keys Real Talk, episode 10. We'll see y'all next time.
All right, Keys, man.